bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of adjustment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I got so much stuff to talk about today. I don't know what moniker we're using for him today. We're going to use NYGP. He'll be coming in to talk about some sports and all those things that are going on today. Packers win, Bears win, Bucks. Well, I guess we'll talk about that too. 833-212-1017 is the number. I want to talk about meritocracy. I think that we are now at a time, and I know I got Sandra's voice in the back of my head. She said she was going to call today sometime. I got Sandra's voice in the back of my head talking about this and not trusting it. But I think it is similar to the automobile, the telephone, the car, all those things that we've always been afraid of and we've always thought, oh my gosh, it's going to be terrible and it's going to cause all this trouble. And later, because black people didn't jump in. Let me be straight. Black people in Milwaukee didn't jump in and get some things done. They were always, we are always at the back end. We always come in and get the scraps that are left over. We come in and get the things that would have done us well had we just jumped in and had a hope mentality instead of a fearful mentality. Had a learning mentality instead of a losing mentality. But that seems to permeate our community. And we've had some big misses as it relates to people saying they were going to help, they were going to do, they were going to, and they didn't follow through. I still have to say one of the biggest, most powerful things in the black community is entrepreneurship. Building a business and being able to create something and sell it is probably the best thing you can do for your life, for your legacy. But for some reason, we don't. We're scared. We're fearful. We continue to always work for other people, and there's nothing wrong with that. But meritocracy, as I see in the YouTube chat, it's not a myth. Meritocracy is what you make it. If you're looking to someone else to make you equal, then you will never be equal. I would never make anybody equal to me. I want to be the top dog. But there are areas and places and spaces where you can be equal, if not exceed the norm in that space. But when you say meritocracy is a myth, that's your mindset telling you you can't. That's fear, not hope. That's a fear of failure. And guess what? Remember when I said sometimes you got to work twice as hard in order to be equal? Yeah, that's doing something somebody else wants you to do. You only have to work as hard as you want to in order to do that, to achieve. And you can in entrepreneurship. There's hard work on everybody's part. We have to stop looking at trying to get things easy, trying to avoid failure, trying to get over on somebody instead of just taking care of the business that has been placed in front of us. Over the weekend, I looked at about 7 programs that you can use to generate business, to create a business, to sustain a business relatively easy. In other words, what might have taken you 8 weeks to create, you could do it in about 8 hours. And then spend the next 8 weeks making it 8 times better. But you know the old saying, you don't know what you don't know? There's technology out today that I sat, put in a prompt, and was able to create a biography website for myself. It took me 4 minutes. I told it what I wanted on it. I told it what I wanted to say. And it took 4 minutes. I came up with an idea that is going to remove a pain point for people. And when I say pain point, that means that there's always something in your day that you do that is going to cause you to move slow, stop what you're doing, fix it. Heavy manual labor, for lack of a better term. What can you do to cut all that down? Because really, we talk about money or how much money is a website making. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. It's the time that you're spending to create something that's going to sell. Today, you can do that in 8 minutes. You can create in 8 hours something that would, quite frankly, on the low end, generate about $100,000 a month. But you just have to take the time to learn it. You have to take the time to increase it. But the bottom line is, and I guess it's something you should understand, money is relative in that depending on what you make for a salary, somebody else can make enough money to pay somebody else that. So at a time when, pick a number, $40,000 a year, might have been something you wanted to work your way up to make. Somebody else doesn't think about it because they pay other people to do that. $40,000. So that part doesn't change. You might think $100,000 is a lot, but if you made $100,000 in a month, you wouldn't think about it. One of the reasons why people's businesses don't work is because we make things we love. I have a passion for that. I have a love for that. And it doesn't work. I don't understand. I wrote a book and nobody wanted to read it because you wrote it for yourself. You built your business for yourself. You thought that'd be cool, so you thought you'd do it because you like it. When in fact, what it comes down to is what are you doing for other people that's going to relieve stress or fix a problem for them that they have? And it comes down to how you sell it. It comes down to what you call it. Is it Dr. Ken's truth? Or is it truth you can use for the rest of your life? Which one of those would you read? Would you read Dr. Ken's truth in a book? Or would you read 10 truths that will change your life and help you leave a legacy? It's not about the creator. It's about the people and what they get when you fix something for them. And that's no matter what you do. If you're in school, if you're at work, what are you doing to alleviate someone else's stress so they can be better? People will pay that. They will pay for that. And they will pay you. So the next time you have an idea, think about it. To democratize and create meritocracy by you simply working on you, there's only one piece of technology where in the next year, and I'm not guaranteeing anything, but I know it works. There's one piece of technology you can use that can make you $1 million or more. Know what it's called? AI.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Hey, Young Money, we're going to get back to that. Watch this. That's why I don't use Amazon, but we'll get to that. NYGP!
What's up?
What's going on?
How are you? I had a great weekend. How was your weekend?
I had a phenomenal weekend.
What'd you get into?
My Bears won.
I see where we're going with this one.
Won.
That is true. We both. Great weekend. Yeah, everybody in the region got a win except for Minnesota.
Except for,
Detroit even won, but.
Okay. It was a kind of raggedy win, but they won nonetheless.
Yeah, it was.
Interesting.
It's a tale of two halves, as we talked about all season. Again, they were up, I believe, 4 at halftime. It was 10-6. And again, the defense, which was phenomenal as always. Again, it's what we've leaned on, obviously, with the addition of Parsons and the secondary being a concern. But they did what they needed to do to, grind out a win that they were supposed to have.
Yep.
And so playing against a young quarterback, they blitzed him all day. They got so much pressure on him.
Poor Parsons. Just walking all over people.
It's too easy for him sometimes. It's crazy.
So like every like six plays, you're laying on your back and Parsons is walking over. Like, it's like, dude, like, oh my gosh.
No, it's wild watching him move two people, sometimes three at a time, and you know, chasing quarterbacks down. Yeah. They had a bunch of plays where I believe the Vikings were in their own territory, you know, 4 or 5 yard line, and they almost got a safety two or three times. And so, again, Jordan Love is making do with spare parts. Again, we talked about it before. You know, there's no Reed, there's no Kraft. There was no Jacobs as well. And again, shout out to Wilson. Obviously, Wilson had a huge day. He had 2 touchdowns.
Sure did.
107 yards on 28 carries, I believe.
Now, you play defense, right?
Yes.
So how can somebody like a Parsons be that fast? This guy's got to be 250, 280. Mm-hmm. Well, 250, you could probably move like that. 280, 290. He's probably like 6'2",
yeah, 6'3", something like that.
Stout guy.
Yes.
Like, doesn't look like he could run 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And to see that guy run, to see some of those tackles and guards, you know, defensive tackles run to the sideline and tackle somebody. I'm like, what? And so I think with Jordan Love, when you play with what you know,
mm-hmm.
you kind of settle.
Yeah, he's I don't want to say a game manager because we tend to overlook the term.
Right.
But he is game managing because, again, you don't have all your weapons on paper. And so you game plan around different guys who might not be used to being called upon. And, again, Wilson was more than happy to carry the ball 28 times, averaged over 4-something a carry.
Man.
And, obviously, you're getting production from Wicks, who was kind of overlooked going into this season. He was, I want to say, the fourth or fifth option on the roster.
And you didn't need your kicker.
Exactly. And he was money today, Sunday. He hit, I believe, three field goals.
Yep.
None of them were super long, but he made the chip shots that he was supposed to make. And so that's good for his confidence going into late game situations, you know, later in the year where they may need a last second drive and a last second field goal. It was a feel good win for everybody involved. Jordan Love didn't have to do too much heavy lifting. Threw the ball, I believe, 21 or 20 times for 150-something yards.
Right.
And they got out of there with a win. Again, they were at home. They won the game that they were supposed to, and now they can move on. Short week. They play the Lions on the road at Ford Field, a team they've already beaten.
It's going to be tough.
Right, but a team—
still going to be tough.
Yeah, a team that can put up points in a hurry.
Yeah.
And so, again, you've already kind of eliminated one divisional foe. Again, the Vikings are essentially, you know, banished to the wasteland now. But, again,
why you got to say it like that?
It's just the truth.
It's the truth.
It is the truth.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Again, this is a Packers team that has to play the Lions, the Bears. I believe they have to play the Vikings again.
They got
to
pretty much be perfect.
Yes.
For the rest of the season.
And again, with that tie on their record, again, a divisional loss would be kind of devastating. You know, they're basically firmly in the wild card right now, but second in division. Again, if they can muster up somehow, again, to beat the Bears twice, which is a team that has also been super resilient all year long.
Man.
Rookie head coach. You know, you've got a young quarterback, and he's got some weapons. They've been able to run the ball, play a lot of defense.
But a quarterback who is not afraid to run, not afraid to get tackled. When you got the quarterback getting up before the lineman, when you get knocked, I mean, popped on the sideline and get up looking for the ref to give him the ball and run, you can't beat that.
Yeah,
that's going to be tough.
But the thing that really matters in moments like that, you can see how much the team trusts his quarterback. For example, there was a defensive back, you know, Gardner Johnson. He's on the bench, but he's angry at the defensive player.
Right.
And so you see guys trying to protect him, rallying around him because they understand how hard he's playing and how much he's willing to put his body on the line for them to win. And so, again, the Packers versus the Bears, it's a game that people will look into, but there's no game that they can overlook right now. That Lions game is going to be peak cinema, again, for those who – rallying around the turkey and the cranberry sauce and everything else that you eat on Thanksgiving, you know, you might have to take a little pause to watch that game.
Don't choke.
Yeah, exactly.
You might choke on your turkey. Yeah. What's with the Bucks?
I think they're right where they want to be. Again, I'm being honest. Just hear me out.
I lost three games.
No, just hear me out here. This was a team, again, that we expected Giannis to have to do a lot of heavy lifting.
Right.
And they've
now
had
he's doing no lifting.
Yeah, but they've had a tough go at it. Again, they had to play the Lakers, the Pistons, and, you know, a couple other tough teams that were kind of championship contenders in the midst of 3 weeks without their best player.
But they got 62 games.
Yes. And
that
I think
only three.
Yeah. And I think this is a chance for them to experiment and see what they can get out of a lot of guys. Again, Ryan Rollins, who's been a bright spot, he's averaging 20 points over these last three games without Giannis. And I think they're obviously banged up. They don't have Kevin Porter Jr., who's supposed to be their starting point guard, essentially, which has allowed Ryan Rollins to grow. And you also don't have Giannis. So Giannis draws a lot of attention. This is a team that puts up a lot of three-pointers a game. They average, I believe they're in the top half. They average about 38 three-point attempts a game, and they're shooting about 47% as a team. So it's
but what's their percentage for three-pointers? See, that's the problem.
Yeah. It's high, but they live and die by the three. And so, again, when there's a night where you might put up 38 of them and you hit maybe 9 or 10, teams are steadily pulling away because they're chipping away.
Yep.
And you don't have, you know, that great on-ball defender that you used to have. Guys like P.J. Tucker.
Yeah. You don't have that at all.
Yeah, you don't have one of your you know, premier rim protectors as well. And so they're just trying to find kind of their stride. They're trying to tinker with rotations. They're trying to see what guys that they can keep out there for 10 to 15 minutes when other teams go on runs. Obviously, basketball is a game of runs, but if you're giving up more points than you score, you're obviously going to lose a couple games.
So. How many games are they in? Like 15? 18? Something like that?
I believe so. I think they're 8-9 right now, so 17.
They got about 17 games.
8-9. And so, they're at home tonight. They're playing a Portland team that's, you know, missing one of their best players in Shaden Sharpe. So we'll see what they have to muster up. Mm. Again, if they can hit the three ball and they can get hot, this is a team that can, you know, blow the doors off of anybody. They had a tough game against the 76ers, which they lost in overtime, but you allow their best player to score 50.
Which they shouldn't have lost in overtime. Whether they scored 50 or 54 or 60. They should not have. They made... Can I say the word rookie mistakes?
You can. It's a cliche,
it is. But it's also true. See, cliches and stereotypes are true because they're true.
That is, that is. It's a team again. I'm not worried about this team right now at all. Again, it's super early in the season. Again, they're playing playing the teams that, you know, they're going to have to worry about later in the year, obviously. But you see everybody three or four times, and so they'll see the Pistons again. Maybe the Pistons will cool off. The Bucks might be at full strength. They'll have Kevin Porter Jr. They'll have Giannis. And this is a team that I think will need to be, you know, active at the trade deadline. I think they do need to add another on-ball defender and possibly another shooter, if not, you know, a backup center. There's going to be some pieces that have to get moved in order for this team to really go on a run.
So when's that point?
Like, when do you realize that they need to make those?
When do they reach? I'm saying it wrong. When do they reach the apex? Mm. And it either goes up or they're done.
I think February. I think coming out of that All-Star break, I think they'll know.
Game number.
Yes. Game number.
How many? Like after they get to game number,
I'd say 50.
Out of 62 games, about 50 is about.
I'd say 55. You know exactly what you have and what you need to do.
Yeah. Come on. So, that's only seven games from end of the season, though. We're talking, you know.
But there's teams that are going to be probably clinching playoff spots, whether we, you know, 55, 60 games in. So, like, again, a team like the Thunder are 17-1. They're on pace to clinch.
Damn.
I would say, coming right into the All-Star break. If they continue that pace, it's obviously they're going to slow down, you know. Yeah. Like,
so they got to, you know, reserve themselves for the playoffs.
Yeah. History, you know, trends to teams steadily slowing down. It depends on if they want to go for the record or not, you know. If they want to, I believe the record right now is 73-9, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I believe that's the Warriors in 2015 or 2016, whichever year that they did that. Yep. But
and they only beat the Bulls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that mattered to them, but I don't remember them, you know, being successful in the playoffs. They were worn down because they gave it everything that they had during the regular season.
Right.
And so if the Bucks people want to keep sleeping on them, again, this is a team that can shoot the three ball. They have size. They have length. They do have a championship caliber coach. So this is not a team that you want to run into in the first
and
round
Giannis
of the playoffs.
Yes. And Giannis will be back.
Yes.
And Portis will be back.
Yeah. So this is a team that, you know, if they happen to be in the play-in or they happen to be a 6 or 7 seed, this is a team that you don't want to play in the first round. Right. So we'll see how they, you know, kind of grow and mature again as they get their leader back later in the year or in a couple weeks. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
Or they just need another leader.
That too. Another veteran wouldn't help or would help, you know, also. So we'll see what they get to add to the team going forward.
All right. Thank you much, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And you're a what fan?
I am a Knicks fan.
You're a Knicks in basketball and football is?
Patriots.
Is that New York's finest?
No.
More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. 34 minutes after the hour. What is the weather looking like? I don't really want to know what the weather's looking like. I don't really care what the weather's looking like, but I got to check it anyway because that's what I do. 49 degrees. Showers are in the vicinity. Supposed to rain a little bit tonight with a low of 43 degrees. So I'm depressed already. Yes, I am. Yes. So, hey, you heard they caught your girlfriend, Zach. They caught your girlfriend, Morgan Geiser.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
So, here's my issue. So Saturday, around 5:30, they kind of noticed that Morgan was missing. But they didn't report it until the next morning around 10 a.m. That's when all the alerts started coming out. Hey, you know, she's missing. And I'm like, well, if she been missing since 5:30 on Saturday, what'd y'all do for 18 hours? Okay, it might have been 15 hours. What'd y'all do? Like, what were we doing? So as I watch the news coverage, and I talk about this, by the way, make sure you hang around. I'm going till 8 o'clock tonight with Truth Unfiltered. The thing that disturbed me about it was how the media handled it. So they couldn't take her to Waukesha, where she was from, because what do they call it? Halfway house or whatever they had her at. The group home. That's cute. In the city, it's a halfway house. Suburbs, it's a group home. They said it's too close to the victim. So they put her in Dane County in Madison. Put her on an ankle monitoring bracelet, Department of Corrections. And that's where she was since March. Got released in March. Had the rigmarole of going through. And so now she's released. There since March. And then she just walks away. Poof. Cuts off the bracelet. Walks away. First of all, how did she even get to where she was? Well, you remember when the case was going on, I complained about it the entire time. If you got a 10-year-old black boy in Milwaukee County who shoots his mother, and you try him as an adult, then you should have tried Morgan and whatever the other girl's name as adults. But somehow you came up with a reason and a way, and I hate to say it and I hate to racialize it, but you made a black boy, made him out to be a grown man. Because we always know, and yes, I said always, even though you should never say always, in my experience, when black people commit crimes, even as juveniles, they're thought of as being smarter, more criminal, and more conniving. When white kids commit crimes, they're misinformed, they're mentally ill, they're coerced. There's always some other reason that they use to mitigate it. And when I watch all them white folks out there fight like cats and dogs to make sure she went to a mental health facility, I was bothered with it then. And now it's been proven that I was right. She should have been in Tichita up in Green Bay in a women's prison and locked away. But that's not what you did. You allowed her to go to a halfway house and she escaped. So then she went to Illinois, in Polson, Illinois, southwestern part of the city, southwest suburb in Chicago, at a truck stop. Where was she going? To meet Slender Man? No real bad news coverage. Oh, breaking news, she escaped. Didn't even call it an escape. She was missing. What kind of garbage is that? That is people that are in charge of the media, predominantly white, downplaying what this girl did. They downplayed it when she stabbed somebody 19 times. They found a way to mitigate it and send her to a mental health institution. And now you have this nonsense. That's felony escape. Felony escape. She was on the equivalent of parole. And she got committed a felony escape. Are they going to charge her with a felony now? I hope so. But you know they'll find a way not to. You know what they're going to do, right? Blame the man who went to her church who helped her escape. Notice how when they said, oh, Morgan was seen with an adult, not the actor, not the escapee, right? Look at the language people use when they write. They know what they're writing. When they add all these adjectives and adverbs to make something look like something it really isn't. When you use it in your political writing or a story about a politician that you don't like, you put very, 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 very specific things in it that paints a picture for somebody. It makes everybody think the way you want them to think. And that's what they did with Morgan. You're talking about an escaped person who committed attempt homicide by stabbing another juvenile 19 times and she was a 12-year-old. And you have the audacity to downplay it, something you never would have done if she was in Milwaukee County. You would have made her out to be a killer. Lock your doors, batten the hatches, turn down everything, cut off your lights, make it look like you're not home, or turn the lights on, make it look like you're home so she won't come there. Like all those things, lock your door, close your windows, close your curtain. You'd have been doing all that mess if it was a little black kid. But this little white girl, we didn't see any pictures of her other than pictures taken on video. Where's her mugshot? Where's the mugshot with the numbers underneath it, with the orange jumpsuit? Nah, we're not going to see that. Not of Morgan. Not a little white girl from Waukesha. We're not going to do that. We have to be careful with what we read. That's why when I argued last week and everybody calls you a conservative or this and that, talking about Trump and all that, listen to what people are writing and how they write it, if they're pro or con. We don't have journalists the way we used to have. Journalists today seem to work at their own best interests. Journalists use words that soften the blow when it's somebody that looks like them. And black journalists do it as well. Don't get it twisted. They twist everything and make it racial to the point where sometimes I don't understand why you're making this an issue when it's not an issue. I'm talking about all journalists. It was as if she wasn't missing. Like if they didn't send out an alert from the news, why didn't you send out a statewide alert to everybody? Did you alert Dane County? What about Walworth County? What about Rock County? And how did you, not being seen, get all the way to Posen, Illinois? Because she was a little white girl. I'm sorry, she's a white woman. And she blended in. And nobody questioned it. I think it's unfortunate. And every day I just lose more and more respect for journalists in the state of Wisconsin. And it's really unfortunate because had someone gotten hurt, it would have been their fault. Convicted of attempted murder and had a 43-year-old accomplice sleeping behind an Illinois gas station after they ran out of gas. The two met at church and planned the escape. Think about that. Met a couple of months ago at Good Shepherd Church, became upset about how she was being treated at her group home, and the facility denied him visitation rights. Why is a 43-year-old man trying to visit a 23-year-old at a group home. Due to her being mistreated at the group home and him not being able to visit her, they decided to run away from the group home. He wasn't at the group home. Geiser confirmed the relationship began at church and told officers that Mecca had previously visited her by climbing her window and sneaking in on multiple occasions. Think about that. What kind of group home are you at,
bruh,
where someone can break in and visit you? And I love this part of it. After Geiser cut off her Department of Corrections ankle monitor with scissors, didn't it trigger? How long did it take the Department of Corrections to report her missing? How long did it take the group home to report her missing? The only information we've ever seen, and I talk about it from 6 to 8 in Truth Unfiltered. Why did it take so long? Like, what happened from the time she cut it to the time they released that she was missing? What did you do in that time? Did you look for her? Y'all take 5 minutes to look for us, and then y'all got our picture all over billboards and milk cartons. You gotta look for him. Dr. Ken, here. He escaped. He escaped. She made it all the way to southwestern Chicago suburbs. Yes, I'm that upset. Because we talk about the justice system being fair, and in this instance, the justice system isn't fair. Because it should have alerted people statewide that this girl was missing. Should have alerted people at the time it happened. And that should have been instant. So now you got a nationwide warrant with extradition for a person who's wanted for first degree attempted murder. Think about that. You go to the news websites. Now it's at the top. Sunday, you couldn't find it. You had to scroll down to find, oh, by the way, Megan's missing. Really? Really? And you say it's fair. I say no.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Don't you know what makes you beautiful? I'll do anything for you that I've never done before. Don't you know that you're beautiful? I'll do anything for you like I've never loved before. Let me notice your truth right now. Let me into your heart somehow. I'll make you feel beautiful.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. LT says she was found with a 42-year-old man. Like, he was 43. And I'm just correcting him because he actually corrected himself. Young Money said police did their job. What's the issue? No, the police didn't do their job. They should have released the information when it happened. They should have released it sooner. We should not have found out Sunday morning that she was missing since the prior afternoon. A person who was wanted for attempt first degree homicide. Like, think about what you're saying. Police didn't do their job. Media didn't do their job. Department of Corrections clearly didn't do their job. And I expect the media, you know, what Young Money said, Dr. Ken expecting the media to be damn near stalking people. That's their job. You're in the public. That is their job. This isn't nicety. What are you talking about? This nonsense of younger people thinking that everything's supposed to be nice and simple and sweet and pretty is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. So he said, if they thought she was such a threat to the public, they would have released that information. How do you know, Young Money? Help me out. What experience do you have in the criminal justice system as a worker? What experience do you have in law enforcement? Let me think. Probably none. Who's going to do the job of stalking that woman every move? That's their job. And the police didn't know until 12 hours after she escapes? No, that's not true. Department of Corrections, their protocol is to notify the police when an escaped felon is released. Like, what are you talking about? They had to notify the local police department that they were actually placing her in the group home, who she was, what she got charged with, her picture, everything. What are you talking about? Again, you're talking about something that you don't know about. So let me help you. 12 hours. Listen to what you're saying. Somebody kills somebody. I kill Zach. Zach died. I get sent to jail. I get 40 years. 40. They just put her in a mental institution. But she got sentenced to what people get sentenced for when they get attempt homicide charges. 40 years. So then they let her go way too early. They lied and said it was mental health issues, and she did have mental health issues. I think schizophrenia and some things that helped do it. Should have jammed up the friend that was with her that talked her into doing everything, but they didn't. They went after her. They got both of them. Friend got released early. She got released early. You think if she was black, she would have been released early? Nope. We gotta give them a lesson. We gotta show them a lesson. So now we got it. And so the bottom line is, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not the media's job to stalk anybody. It's the media's job to present the facts in a timely manner. Everybody dropped the ball. Police, Sheriff's Department, Department of Corrections, everybody. So at least argue from a point that you know what you're talking about, because you don't know what you're talking about. Police didn't share the information for almost how many hours? That's ridiculous. Would you want to know that somebody in your neighborhood is a killer and they escaped from jail? Like, wouldn't you want to know that? I guess not. And there's no way she will. Watch this. Curly Q, I said that. Had she been black, she wouldn't be in no mental institution. She'd be in Tichita. In prison, locked away. And every time she did something wrong, they tack on a year, tack on 6 months. So let's just be real. And here's my thing. If I'm wrong, prove me wrong. But when you're sharing something way after the fact, that's ridiculous. The issue, like, what's wrong with you, Young Money? Police did their investigation. No, they didn't. Because had they done it in a timely manner, they would have released the information probably within an hour, maybe two. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, top five at five up next.